so this is the other part of my relationship with God. And someone who's, who explained that well was Dietrich Bonhoeffer. We know him a little bit more for like who he was as a person, but he said, let him who cannot be alone beware of community, and let him who is not in community beware of being alone. So basically he said you need both solitude and fellowship. That's like the way humans work most. So this is kind of both tonight. It's definitely togetherness, but there's going to be time in it to just develop your solitude with God as well. So let's maybe reach out a little bit more than you might feel like it tonight to other people and acknowledge that we're doing this together. And this is one of those together times. And then let's respect each other's solitude too during worship and during prayer and help each other develop that. So we're going to have a great night. If you're new and you need something, Becca in the purple shirt is one of the friendliest people you'll ever meet, and you can ask her anything at any point. There's going to be a lot of little transitions, so feel free to get up. If you haven't already noticed, it's quite informal, so you can get up at any point and ask her if you need to know where the bathrooms are or anything like that, or even what's going on. Feel free to do that. And then later on, in these chairs in the back by the foyer lobby, Dawn will be sitting in those during worship music time, and when she's sitting back there, if you want to go for prayer for anything, feel free to do that, and you don't have to know her, obviously, and you can share a story, or you could just even be very vague and say, can you pray for this? And it won't, like, last the whole meeting. Don't be worried about that. She's very conscious about that. And then after some time with some musical worship, Joshua is back from two weeks in Oregon. He's in a master's program for Indigenous Theological Studies, which is pretty cool. That's not like your typical like American pastor's choice of study, so we're lucky to have him doing that. But since it's Father's Day, I also just wanted to say that he's a great dad for everyone who knows him. Helena and Lily just talk about him with like so much familiarity and confidence. And I remembered a story of when, like maybe 5 years ago, when I was babysitting Lily and Helena, we were playing charades, and we were doing some of you, and I won't show you what we were doing to mimic you, but we were also doing famous people, and so Lily had one, and she kind of had a wig on with like longer hair, and she was like, and I was like, Barbara Walters, she was like, what are you talking about? Mother Teresa, no. And she'd be like, and then, so I had no idea. And then she got frustrated and she got up and like mimicked. Do you remember this, Lena? Mimics like hitting a baseball and pitching and stuff. And I was like, Joshua? Yes. But it's so sweet that her first like caricature of Joshua is like as this really good empathetic listener. Let me help us center by praying to get the evening going. Lord, we take a deep breath and we acknowledge your presence here. Help us to be present to you and to each other. And help us to be willing to change tonight. It's hard for all of us to change. We think we want to, but then it feels like going against the grain of our intuition and our instincts sometimes. But we want to change, and we need your help. In your name, amen.
Amen.
So the music team already started us working with Psalm 27, but I'm going to get us working with it a little bit more. It's our Psalm of the Week. We might have a slide of it. We do. I'll talk about this first part, and then we can scroll through and look at the second part. One thing I like about the Psalms is that they teach us what to do with our feelings. And David wrote this one, and so we might not relate with the Psalm because he really used his actual life circumstances. So he was being chased by armies, and people were trying to kill him, and he was trying to like follow God's lead and was like, is this really how it's going? Because I thought it would be easier if I'm doing what you want me to do. So we probably don't relate with that, but there's definitely these very, very human feelings, like being afraid, having anxiety, swing to the other side of the pendulum and we just think like, oh, you're just supposed to express your feelings and follow them and just do what you feel, and kind of so you can be a slave to that if you just like just express it for the good of it. And I feel like the Psalms are like, no, there's a third way, and it's to pray your feelings, to take them to God and to really express them. So David in the first part was like, he was all worried, like, okay, even if I'm surrounded by enemies, I'm going to remain confident. I feel like he was giving himself a little bit of a pep talk. Like, the Lord is my light and my salvation, so why am I afraid right now? Why do I have anxiety? And then there's this great transition in verse 8. Wow, honey, you're amazing.
Sorry, I don't know.
You're good. You can go to the next one. There's this transition in verse 8 where he says, my heart has heard you say, come and talk with me. And my heart responds, Lord, I am coming. And I feel like at that point, for the rest of the psalm, David is kind of getting a little bit more real. As soon as he's like, okay, you want me to talk to you. I'm not giving myself a pep talk, and I'm gonna talk to you. And right after that, he says, like, okay, don't leave me. It kind of gets into his real feelings. Don't leave me, don't abandon me. You've always been my help, you're not gonna do this now. And then the next level is he's like, oh, I'm afraid of being abandoned. Even if my father and mother abandon me, you will always hold me close. Teach me how to live. So he's really starting to express his feelings. And then at the very end, a really cool thing is he speaks his heart for the whole psalm, and at the very end, he speaks to his heart, which is not something I think of prayer being about, where he says, wait patiently for the Lord, be brave and courageous. I don't think he's telling other people to do that. I think he's telling his soul and his heart that. He's saying, I let out my heart, and now I'm going to apply what I know to be true, and I'm going to tell myself, Vanessa, be brave, or Vanessa, stand tall, or Vanessa, trust God. And that, we can think, okay, that's part of prayer, is saying that to yourself. So I thought to kind of warm us up, we could do a mini psalm on our own together. So if you'll reach under your chair,
attention, use your body language, use your movement, use your voice, and let's sing to God with our hopes and our frustrations and our tiredness and our hotness and our gratitude. We're going to use some languages like Spanish from around the world. We're trying to develop a sense of solidarity with our transnational body of Christ. And if you didn't hear already, Dawn is in the back there in the prayer if you want to be praying for it somehow.
Thank you. Where you
social workers in our community that are here tonight and ask them a little bit about our system in particular. And like I said, there's over 4,000 in Philly right now. And the most common reason across the country is parental abuse or neglect. And the average age in America is 10, but in Philly, the most kids we have are over 14, between 14 and 18. And one of the biggest predictors of homelessness is that when these 18-year-olds age out of the system, I guess about a third of them will end up homeless. 75% of them don't graduate high school and then become unemployed. A quarter of them end up in jail, of the kids who age out of the system. And then 40% are more likely to commit violent crimes because they were abused, and then 30% are more likely to abuse their kids. So when you have the first thought of like, oh, I can't believe those parents are abusing their kids, that's so sad, it's probably part of a cycle that happened to them. So I'd like to pray together. We're the holding hands type, so if you'll stand up and you don't mind holding hands with the person next to you. There's going to be a prayer, and I will say what's in white, and then you can all read the purple part together, for those of you who can read it. Sorry, I should have done a better color. And then at the end, there's going to be some names of foster children that people in our community specifically asked us to pray for, so you know who they are. God, we pray for the 4,000 foster youth in Philadelphia.
May someone hold them close today.
We pray for all the people involved in the system here. Give them stamina and wisdom to do what is best for each child. The judges, lawyers, guardians, social workers, court-appointed special advocates, therapists, and foster parents.
Teach them how to live and work effectively in this system.
We pray a special blessing on social workers and foster parents, that they would not lose heart and that you would provide what they need financially, emotionally, and communally to keep caring for foster youth.
May they express goodness in your care now.
We pray that more resources are given to the foster youth system, that some of the money spent on weapons and war would be reallocated to provide more holistic care for those in foster care.
Hear this prayer, be merciful, and answer us.
We pray for those that are about to turn 18 and age out of the system. May someone from their family or a new friend provide hospitality and belonging so that they can transition with support.
May they be able to live in a loving home all the days of their lives.
Open us up to how you may want us to be involved or take action as a congregation, as a network, as cells, families, and individuals.
Lead us along the right path.
We pray for some of the foster youth connected to our friends here. Ashley, Alyssa, Vincent, Clarissa, Dylan, Sam, Maya, Alyssa, Lewis, Kiera, Samir. Lord,
hold them close.
We pray for those here who are estranged from a parent, and for those here who have lost a parent. Lord,
hold them close.
Amen.
I want you to sit down and get comfortable. We're going to sing one more song, but it's maybe a little more complicated to sing. So what we're going to talk about is this self-encouragement to sing the name of Jesus. And when we're singing the name of Jesus, what we're hoping for is that word, that his name even gets into our hearts. And we're going to ask ourselves, how can you worship unless, you know, oh my soul, unless you have surrendered, and to encourage ourselves to fall in love with Jesus. So one thing I do is, if I were to kind of think of where my soul is, I'm kind of thinking in this region. Maybe for you it's another place, but as we get singing this, if you want to just put your hand on that space where that represents rebound.